ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण श्रीमद्भागवतम चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 23 एंड 24। ततो नृपोन्मर्दनमज्जलेपन लंकार रक्षा तिलकाशनादिभिः संलालितस्वाचरितैः प्रहर्षयन् सायं गतो याम यमेन माधव Thereafter, Maharaj Parikshit, as required according to the scheduled round of his pastimes, Krishna returned in the evening, entered the house of each of the cowherd boys, and engaged exactly like the former boys, thus enlivening their mothers with transcendental pleasure. The mothers took care of the boys by massaging them with oil, bathing them, smearing their bodies with sandalwood pulp, decorating them with ornaments, chanting protective mantras, decorating their bodies with tilak and giving them food. In this way, the mothers served Krishna personally. This verse does not have a purport, so I'll read the next verse. Gavastato goshtamupetya sattvaram hunkara goshai parihuta sangatan स्वकान स्वकान वत्सतरान पाययन मुहुर लिहंत्या स्रवत औध संपय। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter, all the cows entered their different sheds and began mooing loudly, calling for their respective calves. When the calves arrived, the mothers began licking the calves' bodies again and again and profusely feeding them with the milk flowing from their milk bags. Purport. All the dealings between the calves and their respective mothers, taking care of them, were enacted by Krishna himself. I seek the blessings of all the devotees before I embark upon speaking on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in these two verses, it is explained how Krishna himself had expanded as the cowherd boys and the calves of Vrindavan. And thus, when he entered in the evening the houses and the cowsheds, he provided enhanced pleasure to the parents, the Vrijvasis, as well as the cows of Vrindavan. And two verses later it is said, Vrajaukasam Svatokeshu Sneha Valli Abdam Anvaham Shanair Nisima Vavrde Yatha Krishnetva Apurvavat. Sneha Valli, you know, the creeper of affection which was within the hearts of these residents of Vrindavan, this creeper of affection, Abdam Anvaham Shanai Nisima Vridhe, this creeper of affection grew every day within their hearts towards their own offsprings, as if Yatha Krishne Tva Apurvavat, as if that affection was growing towards Krishna. That means the affection of the Vrijvasis towards their own children was increasing as it used to increase before when interacting with Krishna. So towards the end of the Brahma Vimon Lila, after Brahma offers his prayers, and Sukadeva Goswami recites this to Maharaj Parikshit, Parikshit Maharaj raises this very important question. He asks the question that it is natural that parents are affectionate towards their children, and they are more affectionate towards their own children than the children of other people. however bad their own children might be, but their affection towards their own children is very intense. They might beat their children, but if someone else beats their children, they become very angry. So that affection towards one's own offspring is a natural thing, but how is it that there is a contradiction to this general principle in Vrindavan? In Vrindavan, there is a contradiction to this general principle. Everyone loves Krishna more than they love anyone else. More than they love their friends, their family, their relatives, or their village. How is this possible? And in response to this, Sukadeva Goswami explains that actually for every living entity, the dearmost object of attachment and affection is one's own self. And because friends, relatives, family, etc. give pleasure to one's own self, they become dear. And the body, it gives the maximum pleasure. And it's the object which gives maximum pleasure to the self. And so the body is the object of attachment and affection for the living entity. But if the living entity goes deeper, he understands that everything is an object of affection and attachment because they give pleasure to the spirit soul. Actually, the spirit soul is our actual object of attachment and affection. And everything else becomes an object of attachment and affection because they give pleasure to the spirit soul. And then, when the living entity goes deeper, he understands that the spirit soul is the object of attachment and affection because it is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is actually the only object of attachment and affection. And so, naturally, Krishna is more dear than one's own self. And the Brajavasis live this realization. For them, Krishna is their life and soul. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Pran. Krishna is the life and soul of the Brajavasis. Because for them, Krishna is more an object of attachment and affection than their own self. And everyone, in fact, is searching for an object where he can repose all his tendency to become attached and the tendency to become affectionate towards, the propensity to love. Everyone is searching for an object of affection and love. And in the conditioned stage, because of different layers of the modes of ignorance, the objects of attachment and affection becomes various things. But when the person becomes self-realized, he understands that the only object of attachment and affection is Krishna. And one can completely be satisfied only by reposing one's dormant loving propensity towards Krishna and Krishna alone. So through this Brahma Vimohan Lila, this very deep philosophical conclusion comes to light. That actually Krishna is the only object of affection and love. He's the only object of affection and love and no one else. And it's amazing how in the very foreword to the Krishna book, George Harrison makes this point. He says that everybody is looking for Krishna. Some don't realize that they are, but they are. Ultimately, everyone is searching for that object wherein he can repose his complete propensity to repose affection and love. Often in my, I don't give many, but whatever I give on lectures on mind control, I use this particular analogy. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavad dridham tasyaham nigraham manye vayur ivasa dushkaram. He says how the mind is restless, how the mind is flickering, it's obstinate, it is strong, it is agitating. He gives so many characteristics of the mind. And this is what makes the mind uncontrolled. So in my seminar, I draw a parallel that suppose you consider the mind to be a person who is flickering, a person who is agitated, a person who is obstinate, a person who is strong. Who is that person? A person who is searching for something. If you visualize a person who is desperately searching for something, he's flickering. He's always running here and there. Because most of my lectures I give in, whatever little I give in colleges. So to relate to students, I give the example of a student who is searching for his exam notes one day before the examination. So he has not studied throughout the semester, and one day before the examination, he is searching for his exam notes. So he's flickering. He's running from one room to another, searching for his exam notes. And then, when he's desperate for his exam notes, naturally his strength increases. That desperation increases his strength. Balavat, you know. He can search for the whole night without getting tired, without even thinking about sleep. And then he's obstinate. He's obstinate. You can't convince him to keep quiet. He won't keep quiet. He'll continue his search until he finds his notes. Then only he can be pacified. So a person who is desperately searching for something is exhibiting all the characteristics of the mind. What does that mean? The mind is searching for something. The mind is desperately searching for something. And what is the mind searching for? The mind is searching for an object which can give it permanent satisfaction and happiness. Another thing is, when a person is searching, when he thinks he found it, and he realizes that that is not the actual thing, then his desperation actually increases. So similarly, the mind considers so many objects of this world to be the source of happiness. But when the mind finds it, in due course of time, the mind realizes that actually that object is not the source of eternal pleasure. So the desperation of the mind goes on increasing. And when the desperation of the mind increases, it becomes all the more flickering, more agitating, more strong and more obstinate. So how can the person who is desperately searching for something be pacified? You just provide him the object which he's searching for. Similarly, when you provide the mind the connection with Krishna, then the mind becomes peaceful. Because the mind has found a source of unlimited happiness and pleasure which it was always looking for. So this is the simple principle of controlling the mind. Simply provide the mind Krishna. So if you actually go deeper into the mysteries of life, we find that it is actually very simple. I think it was some scientist who said that ultimately there is some simple law which governs all existence. They are looking for a unified theory. For the one theory, the unified theory of all other theories, and that theory is this. That is, Jivera Swarupa Hoye Krishnera Nityadas. This is the unifying theory. If you go to the back end of existence, this is what you will find. For example, there are so many software packages which come, you know, which makes working very easy on your system. Brijkirti Prabhu has installed so many of them. So when you go into the back end of the system, you see the actual coding, line by line. So recently I was going through the coding of one particular software. And there are so many lines of code. And towards the end, there was one particular small code, and in front of it, there was a comment that was written. You remove this line, and the sky falls on your head. So I was wondering, what is this person trying to say? That if you remove this line, the sky falls on your head. So actually, the programming, the coding is so complex, loop within a loop. And it is so complex that particular line, if you remove, the whole algorithm collapses. And you don't understand what is happening. So he's telling that you don't remove this line. You do whatever you want to do, but never remove this line. Similarly, if we see the programming of a living entity, if you go to the back end of the living entity and see the programming, this is the most critical line. Jivera Swarupahoe Krishnera Nityadas. In his Sanatana Shiksha, right at the beginning, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lays this foundation. Jivera Swarupahoe Krishnera Nityadas. Because this is the most critical line. And if this line is removed, the sky does not fall on our head. We fall from the spiritual sky. And every line in this code is critical. Jivera Swarupahoe Krishnera Nityadas. The living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna. Nityadas. That is the swarup of the living entity. We are all servants. Right in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains how in this material world, even in this world, we see that everyone is engaged in service. A engages in service of B, B engages in service of C, C engages in service of A or D. No one is exempt from the principle of service. Nityadas. There's no choice but to serve. But the irony of the material world is, everyone is a servant, but everyone wants to be the master. And because everyone is wanting to be a master, there is so much of misery. But in contrast, the spiritual world, everyone is deeply rooted in the principle of servitude. That is the difference. That is the contrast between the material world and the spiritual world. Material world, everywhere, everyone is engaged in service because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. But in the material world, everyone is engaged in service, but everyone is striving to be the master. But in the spiritual world, everyone is perfectly situated in the consciousness of being the servant. You see, all the rasas, dasyaras, we see the example of Hanumanji, Garudji, they did incredible things in the Ramayana. At one particular point of time, an asura, he released a serpent weapon, and including Ram and Lakshman became unconscious, bound by snake ropes. The entire army was dead still. No one was moving. And then Garuda comes into the picture, and he, simply by the air which comes from the wings of Garuda, everyone is revived and is free from the serpent weapon. So Lord Ram and Lakshman are revived by the service of Garuda. But Garuda never thinks that I saved Ram and Lakshman. He understands that my constitutional position is I am the servant of the Lord. Not for a moment there is a misconception that maybe I am the Lord. The Lord is dependent upon me. No, that deeply rooted in the conception of servitude. So is the case of Hanuman. Even Lord Ram had to take the help of an army to cross the ocean. But Hanumanji, simply by a leap, He did it, but he never was under the illusion that he was better than Ram. He always considered himself the servant of Ram. So Dasyaras, Sakras, Vatsalyas, as we go up in the rasas, the tendency of wanting to be the master can potentially increase. Isn't it? But we see, even if we come to the stage of Madhurya Ras, whether it is Parakya or Swakya, in the Swakya Ras, the queens of Krishna, they always consider themselves to be the maidservants. When they meet Draupadi later in Kurukshetra, they say that how Krishna has accepted them as their maidservants. And even the gopis, Parakiras, they call themselves Ashulka Dasika. We are maidservants without payment. So all throughout, everyone, this principle of servitude is so deeply ingrained in the consciousness of all the living entity in the spiritual world, irrespective of which rasa they are in connection with Krishna. But in the material world, everybody is serving, but everyone has a consciousness of wanting to be the master. Whether it is perverted Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras or Madhuryaras. Dasyaras, where it is very clear, someone is the master, someone is a servant. Still the servant is hankering to take the position of the master. That is the material world. And sometimes he becomes successful also. Communism is nothing but servant wanting to take the position of the master. And as the intimacy grows in this material world, between two people, whatever rasa they might be in, the propensity to dominate increases. In our neighborhood, there were an old couple. And as is usually the case, their son was living somewhere abroad. So the couple was helpless. They wanted help for their daily chores, for doing small things and big things. So they hired a maid servant. So the maid servants was very dedicated maid servants. She used to take care of all the needs of the old couple. And as the dedication of the maid servant increased, naturally, the trust level also increases. And then you start depending upon the maid servant more. So slowly, slowly, they start handing over more responsibilities to the maid servant. So after some time, after an year, when the son returned, what does he see? The new scene. The scene is, every day morning, the maid servant comes to the home, sits on a chair, and she orders his old mother, "Get me a cup of tea." And the old mother goes, brings a cup of tea, and the maid servant is telling, "Mop the floor, do this, do that." And the old couple are humbly following the instructions of the maid servant. Actually, a true story. So then the son had to call the police and get the maid servant out. So the point is, in this material world, this is what it is. Dasyaras is most clear that here is the master and here is the servant. Still the servant wants to lord it over. He wants to lord it over. The propensity to lord it over material nature is the conditioned mentality. And we see in Stalin's regime also. Stalin, he used to have so many assistants. And some people used to get close to Stalin because of their dedication. So as their dedication used to increase, they used to gain more power because of their intimate association with Stalin. So after some time, Stalin used to become so threatened by his assistants, they used to himself kill them. So it was a regular trend that someone used to go up high in the ranks in his administration, become very close to him, and then disappear. Someone used to rise very high in his administration, become very close to him, then disappear. Disappearance was a regular feature of Stalin's administration because he always felt threatened by his servants. So if this is the case with Dasyaras in this world, what to speak of other rasas? Now, Sakhyaras, Patsalyaras, Madhuryaras. Now even in this material world, when there is a principle of servitude, there is some happiness, is it not? So people of this world, the thoughtful people of this world understand this. So they invent so many isms, nationalism, socialism, altruism, humanitarianism. So all these isms are nothing but principles which promote the principle of servitude. Nationalism means you serve the nation. Humanitarianism means you serve humanity. So they realize that as long as there is the principle of servitude, there is some degree of happiness, and it's a reality. So even in relationships between master and servant, the relationship between friends, relationship between parents and children, or between husband and wife, as long as there is a principle of servitude, there is some degree of happiness. And generally, it starts with the principle of servitude only. But then, the conditioned mentality takes over, and the conditioned mentality is wanting to lord it over. And then, the servant wants to lord over the master. Each friend wants to lord over the other's friend. The husband and wife each want to lord over each other. And the parents too. You know, the parents, how sweet it is when the parents are serving the children selflessly. But then, imperceptibly, the parents want to lord over the child. And they feel that this child belongs to me. And when you want to lord it over somebody or something, the law of nature is you become attached. You become attached to someone or something whom you want to lord it over. Attachment is the next principle that comes after lording it over. So you want to lord over your children, and then you become attached to your children. You think, children are mine. And then the wife comes, the Madhuryaras, and in Madhuryaras the wife is wanting to lord over the husband. So there is conflict between Vatsalyaras and Madhuryaras. The parents want to lord over the child, their son, and the wife wants to lord it over the husband. So there is a conflict. So material world becomes a messy place. Even in the material world, if people decide, we'll follow the principle of servitude only, the world will become a much better place. But it cannot be that way, because the principle of lording it over is so powerful. You become attached. And then when there is attachment, there is bound to be misery. So, this Nityadas, why is it so difficult in the material world? Why is it so difficult to be a servant? Even though we know theoretically that by being the servant, we can be in the most peaceful position. Why is it so difficult? It is so because to serve, we need a suitable master. So, Jivera Swarupahoi Krishnera Nityadas. Simply Nityadas is not sufficient. Krishnera Nityadas. Then only it is complete. Because only by serving Krishna can the living entity be completely satisfied. Sripad Yamunacharya brings out this point very nicely when he says that Bhavantam evanu charan nirantaram prashanta nishesha manorathantaram kadaham aikantika nitya kinkaram praharsheshyami sanat jivitam. He's praying that Bhavantam evanu charan nirantaram. Oh my Lord, when will I engage in your eternal service? Krishna, when will I engage in your eternal service? Bhavantam evanu charan nirantaram prashanta nishesha manorathantaram. And only when I engage in your service can I be freed from manorathantara, from the agitations of the mind. Otherwise, the mind can never be pacified by serving anyone else. Only by serving Krishna can there be prashanta, manorathantara. The mind can be peaceful. Kadaham ekantika nitya kinkaram. Ekantika. When will I exclusively engage in your service alone? Ekantika nitya kinkaram. Praharshishyami. Sanata jivitam. Sanata, because you are the fitting master. Sanata jivitam. Only Krishna is a fitting master. So, this is a very important aspect of the critical line of the coding of the living entity. Jivera Swarupoye Krishna Nityadas. One is Nityadas, the consciousness of servitude. And then, whose servant? Krishna's servant. And only when the living entity is Krishna's servant, can the living entity be completely satisfied and be completely happy. So, when the devotee is fixed in this understanding that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, he is so satisfied and happy that he relishes that position so much that he is not ready to compromise that position with any other lucrative position of this world. That is why we see in the spiritual world, irrespective of what the rasa is, the living every living entity in the spiritual world clings on to his position of being the servant of Krishna. Because that position of being the servant of Krishna is so nourishing and enlivening to the living entity. Praharshishyami. It completely satisfies the living entity. And so the living entity doesn't barter that position with any other system. But in this material world, that juice is not available by serving anyone or anybody else. So one is always looking for the propensity to lord it over, because the living entity comes under the illusion that I might find happiness by lording it over. So the devotees of the Lord, they are always fixed in their position of being the servants of Krishna. Because Krishna is the only object of all service and all love. There's a beautiful verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kuruvan apina lipyate, which describes the position, the safe position of the living entity who has surrendered to Krishna. Yoga yukto. So, a devotee is fixed in his connection with Krishna, yoga yukto. And because he's yoga yukto, vishuddhatma, vijitatma, jitendriya. He's purified and all of his senses are controlled. He doesn't come under the sway of the mind to lord it over. He's always fixed in his understanding that he's a servant, because he's completely fixed to the lotus feet of Krishna. Sarva bhutatma bhutatma. Sarva bhuta, all living entities. Atma bhutatma, Prabhupada translates as showing compassion. So even when he is engaged in showing compassion to other living entities, kurvan api na lipyate, he is never bound. He never becomes entangled, never becomes attached. Now, if we analyze, when you actually take charge of the life of another person, in a preaching movement, that is what is expected, that you take charge of certain people, you take charge of certain people's lives, wherein those people seek shelter from us. You know, when someone is seeking shelter from us, and someone is looking up to us, and we are taking care of them, the position is, we are taking the position of the master externally, isn't it? Prabhu, Maharaj, we are being called, because we are taking the position of the master. And that is a position wherein it's most easy to become attached, because as such, the living entity in the conditioned world has a propensity to lord it over. And here is someone coming to you and telling, please lord over me. You are my counselor. You are my guru. Please lord over me. So it's natural that you start lording over that person. And when you start lording it over, you become attached. Then you feel, this person is mine. He belongs to me. And then there is so much of problem, and it can go to such an extent that the guru runs away with his disciple and gets married. So much it can become. But yoga yukto, but if the person who is in that position is strongly connected to Krishna, he understands that Krishna is the only object of love, he is the only object of service, then even though he is engaged in so many services, including this service of giving shelter, kurvan api na lipyate, he never becomes attached, because whatever his external role might be, he is fixed in his understanding that I am serving Krishna by serving this person. He is always conscious of Krishna. He is attached only to Krishna. He is a servant of only Krishna. And whoever he sees in this world, he sees that person in connection with Krishna. Because this person is part and parcel of Krishna, I have to serve him. By serving him, I am serving Krishna. By serving him, I am showing my affection and love for Krishna. He is fixed in this understanding. So, kurvan api na lipyate. He is never attached. He never becomes attached. We see the example of Bharat Maharaj. Now, Bharat Maharaj, he was put in a position where he had to give shelter to the deer. But when he gave shelter to the deer, the problem what happened was, he lost his connection with service to Krishna. His sadhana loosened and he's lost his connection with service to Krishna. So when he forgot Krishna, then his tendency to lord it over came out. So he started lording it over the deer, considering the deer is dependent upon me, I'm the Lord. Become attached to the deer, and then rest is history. So when a person is actually fixed in this understanding that I am the servant of Krishna, only Krishna, then only he can remain in this world while being detached from it. Padra, Padma Patram Ivambhasa. Now when Malati Mataji was here, she made a nice point that even when a disciple is engaged in the service of the spiritual master continuously, unless his sadhana is good, there is every chance that he can, that enthusiasm to serve won't last for long. That is what she mentioned. I'm simply repeating what she said. So it's the same principle. What is sadhana? Good sadhana means your connection with Krishna. So Sakshadharityena samasta shastre kintu praburya priya eva tasya. The spiritual master is the object of all love and affection because he is most dear servant of the Lord. So that connection is very critical. Unless that connection is always kept in mind, it can become sentimental. It becomes sentimental. And Prabhupada mentioned in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the principle of service begins with the service of the spiritual master. That is where it begins. But even that is dependent upon good sadhana. That is why. Because ultimately the living entity wants Krishna and nothing but Krishna. The living entity is simply satisfied by serving Krishna and not by serving anyone else. And this is the principle. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give what? A prema pumartho mahan. Prabhupada in one place, he explains, what is prema pumartho mahan? That is, prema is the main concern. Prema should be the main concern of the living entity. Developing love for Krishna should be the main concern. We have got so many concerns. In this material world, people have so many concerns. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. For some people, dharma is a concern. For some, artha, kama, moksha is a concern. But for a devotee of the Lord, prema pumartho mahan, to develop love for Krishna is the main concern. And so, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhupada says in the sixth canto, that by chanting Hare Krishna continuously, one comes to the point of offenselessly chanting Hare Krishna. And one chants Hare Krishna offenselessly, one develops love for Krishna. So the entire process which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give, and which was given by Srila Prabhupada and is now being given by his followers, is nothing but to give, to make us understand this principle of Jivera Swarupa Hoye Krishna Ranitya. This simple code, if we simply recognize this within the software of our system, then life becomes very simple and life becomes blissful. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.